1 Peter chapter number 2, and let's look at verses 1 to 3. 1 Peter chapter number 2, why don't we read these verses out loud this morning together? On 2. 1, 2. Wherefore, laying aside all malice and all guile and hypocrisies and envies and all evil speakings, as newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word, that ye may grow thereby, if so be ye have tasted that the Lord is gracious. Amen. Well, let's commit this time to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for, Lord, the truth that we can be sure of, Lord, and we can stand on your truth this day. Lord, we thank you that your word is a sure foundation for our lives. And Lord, we thank you that your word is a living word. It is the supernatural, holy word of God that you've given us, Lord, and it is able, Lord, to change our lives from the inside out. And Lord, we pray that you would teach us lessons this morning from your word, Lord, to help us in our Christian lives as we live in these last days. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Now, as we've looked through the book of 1 Peter, I hope you remember that the theme of 1 Peter is the hope we have in Christ during suffering. Now, the people that Peter were writing to were Christians that were scattered abroad throughout the area that the Bible calls Asia Minor, and it was the area north of Judea, in the land which we call today as Turkey, and they were dispersed abroad, they were scattered abroad, and it was a time of great persecution for the church. At one stage, only the Jews were the Christians' enemies, but then it came to pass that the Romans were just as worse or even worse to the Christians than the Jews. And under Emperor Nero, as you recall, Christians were used as the scapegoats or to blame for every bad thing that happened in Rome, including the great fires of Rome during Nero's reign, but also any tragedy that happened in the Roman Empire was blamed on the Christians. For example, 8 hours ago, there was a great earthquake in Nepal, and thankfully, Brother Cloud wrote us an email to say that they're all well, praise the Lord, and I'll mention a little bit more later on. But that was when an earthquake took place in the Roman Empire, it was blamed on the Christians. The Christians were used as the source of the problem in the world. They were the ones that were the problem. They were the ones that were a curse. They were the ones that were to be gotten rid of. And they were facing great persecution and great trial. And so Peter, under the inspiration of God, wrote this book to these people suffering under great horrific persecution. Now, the word suffering appears 16 times in this book. Now, though today we don't experience the same kind of persecution, at least in Australia, as those believers did, we all, as Christians, will sooner or later face persecution. We will all face suffering if we stand for the faith. If we live for Christians, the Bible says, yea, all that shall live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. If we seek to follow God, if we seek to honour Him, we will suffer persecution. So there are some wonderful lessons here in 1 Peter for us. And as we look at our theme this morning, once again, we're reminded that the time is at hand. It's not going to get any easier, church family, to be a Christian this year or in the years to come. Have you noticed on the news that things are just getting worse? Now, they won't tell you what's happening to Christians most time on the news, but trust me, the Bible says that evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse. And that means as time progresses, wickedness increases. And as Christians, we will face challenges today that we need to be prepared for. We will face persecution today that we need to be ready for. And we're going to learn some more lessons this term on how we can live in victory as Christians. How we can live above our circumstances, above our trials, above those who reject us, with a wonderful and joyful hope in Jesus Christ. Now, this morning's lesson is entitled, Be Strong from the Beginning. There in your notes, you'll notice the title, Be Strong from the Beginning. And Peter was writing to these believers, and he was encouraging them that the issue or the problem in their life is not their suffering. The problems in their life are not to be just sourced to their persecution. And he wanted to encourage these believers that if they grow in Christ, if they allow Jesus Christ to change them from the inside out, if they grow as Christians and they are transformed spiritually, they can still be joyful and overcome the trials that they're facing. Though they were facing horrific persecution, Peter was saying to them, look, the answer isn't to remove the enemies out of your life. The answer isn't to flee to some corner of the world where no one else lives and to live in a little enclave as Christians separate from the world. No, he told them here in 2 Peter chapter 1 to 3 that the answer, the solution to their greatest need is to grow, to be changed, to be transformed in their heart and in their mind. And when you see you and I allow God to transform us, though our circumstances are still the same, our outlook is very different. And that's what Peter was targeting at this morning. So notice in your notes, the first blank. Firstly, we learn something about our departing. So Roman numeral number one, your first blank is the word departing. Departing. Now, if you need the answers, they're on the back of your sheets at the bottom, just in case you miss it. And I'm talking too fast. So at the bottom of the page, at the back, that's where the blanks are. So our departing. Now, when you and I receive Jesus Christ as Savior, that is just the beginning, isn't it? You know, I heard one preacher say that it is the kindergarten stage of eternity. When we repent of our sins, we receive Christ as Savior. We have a home in heaven. Our sins are completely forgiven once and for all. But that's just the beginning of our life in Christ. That's the kindergarten stage of eternity. And we need to start growing. We need to start changing. And the Bible tells us that there are some things, now that we are Christians, that we need to depart from. We need to lay aside. We need to put to the side. You know, the Bible describes changing as a Christian as putting off and putting on. Imagine waking up in the morning and we need to make a choice to put off the dirty clothes and to not put them on, and then to put on clothes that are clean. And we could say that every day you and I make a choice. Do we put on the old habits of the old life? Do we put on the old thoughts and the old worries and the old fears and the old anger and live out our day in those dirty clothes, though we are saved? Or do we put on new clothes? Do we put on garments and clothing that honour the Lord Jesus Christ? Do we put on those things that please the Lord? Do we wear, or do we put on that which Christ would put on? In our thinking, in our actions, in our speech. You see, the Christian life is a life of transformation. Once we are saved, God gives us His Holy Spirit, and the Spirit of God is the one who He works in our lives to change us. But we need to make some choices as well. You see, change in our life just won't happen. Just because you're saved doesn't mean that that will take care of the rest of the changes in your life. No, you need to make some choices. I need to make some choices every day. And Peter encourage these Christians that there are some things we need to lay to the side. We need to depart from. And when we do, we'll be changed and we'll experience that new life in Christ that God wants us to experience, that overcoming joy and that closeness to Christ that gives us that victory in the Christian life. So there are some things we need to change. And in verse number one, here is a little list that Peter gives. And God tells us here in verse 1 that there's no place in the life of a Christian for these things. Malice, guile, hypocrisies, envies, or evil speakings. And we need to depart from these things. We need to lay them aside if we're going to grow as Christians. And that's a choice we need to make. God can't make that choice for us. We need to make it. Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. The Apostle Paul pleads with Christians and he says, I beseech you, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice. That's right. Holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. You see, once we're saved, the only reasonable thing for us to do is to say, Lord, change me. Lord, here's my life. Lord, help me to change. Help me to grow. And we're not to be conformed to this world, but to be transformed by the renewing of our minds. So what are some things that God wants us to depart from? Well, first of all, notice the Bible says, laying aside all malice. Malice. There's no place for malice in the life of a Christian. Now, malice is when we think evil of others. Oftentimes, when we rejoice in the downfall of others, when bad things happen to other people, and you and I are glad about it and rejoice in it, that is what we call malice, being malicious. And let's admit this morning that we live in a very, in fact, extremely malicious world, don't we? Absolutely. All you need to do is pick up the paper or watch some of the news, and you'll see how much this world is addicted to enjoying, taking pleasure and being entertained by the downfall of others. When others fail, when others fall, when celebrities, for example, make shocking choices in their lives, this world is entertained by that, is it not? Absolutely. Much of the entertainment of the world centers around the downfall and the suffering and the wrong choices and the shocking lives of others. Rejoicing in it. And you know, the Bible says there's no place for malice in the life of a Christian. There's no place for that kind of hard attitude as Christians. You know, the gossip magazines are full of this kind of sin, of malice. You know, the news is full of it. Movies are full of this sin. Taking pleasure in the tragedy and the suffering of others. Now, these believers were suffering, weren't they? The believers that Peter was writing to, they were suffering horrifically because the Romans were malicious. They took pleasure in the suffering of Christians. Now, if you were here last term, we would have spoken about some horrific things, but one of the main events in Rome was the Circus Maximus and where they would throw Christians to the lions and to gladiators where and they would be slaughtered in front of audiences of thousands as entertainment. And these Christians were experiencing great suffering and great persecution. And Peter was encouraging them, don't be like those who are persecuting you. You need to be different. They need to see a difference in you. Don't be malicious. This is something we need to lay aside from our old life. We need to make sure we don't take pleasure in the suffering and we don't rejoice in the downfall of others. That's an attitude we need to lay aside and keep in check. Now, next, the Bible says, laying aside all guile. The word guile means deceitfulness, lying. Being sneaky, that's right. Guile, that's what the word means. And the Bible again tells us, as Christians, this is something we need to lay aside. We're not to scheme our way through life. Now, the world will try and convince you that we live in a rat race, and the only way to win in life is to become a rat yourself. We live in a rat race where only rats seem to win. So if you want to get ahead in life, you need to be a rat too. You need to play dirty games and tricks and scheme and connive and be dishonest to get ahead. You know, that's what the devil will say. That's what the world will try and convince you of. But you see, the Bible tells us as Christians, we have a new life to live. And it's a life of honesty. That's the opposite of lying. A life of honesty. And there's not one person in here that's a Christian that still does not struggle with being dishonest. We all struggle with telling the truth because it's a part of our old nature. Yes, we have a new nature, but that battle is still on. And that old nature wants to rule our lives and to control us. And every day we need to choose to lay aside lying. Let me encourage you, Christians, be an honest Christian. You know, God wants to bless us. And one of the ways He blesses us is with a clean conscience. Amen. Isn't it wonderful in certain situations that you've been in and I've been in when we've chosen to tell the truth, chosen to do the right and honest thing, and we've experienced God's blessing? One of those blessings is to going to bed at night with a clean conscience and being at rest and peace, knowing that we are right with God because we've been honest. We've told the truth. We haven't employed deceitful tactics in our relationships or in our work or in our family life. Amen. Trying to manipulate our children by lying to them. No. If we are honest and if we are truthful, God will always bless that. And we have a world around us where lying has become a normal practice, and they need to see a different kind of Christian life. Amen. The world doesn't need to see a Christian that comes to church on Sunday, that looks like the world, that smells like the world, that listens to rock music just like the world and calls themselves Christians, and then goes out into the world and lives just like the devil throughout the week. No, the world needs to see Christians that are changed, that are changing. One of the ways we can show the world what we believe is by being truthful. Amen. Even if it means we have to admit that we're wrong. As Christians, we are not sinless. And just because you're a Christian, church family, remember, we don't have to always be right, do we? Amen. If we're always right, then we must be God. Amen? Right. We are not sinless. Don't try and lie to cover up the fact that we are just sinners saved by grace. Sometimes we're too proud as Christians to say, hey, I was wrong. In fact, I'm the one to blame. You know, when we are honest, God can do a work in our lives to change us, to help us, to show others that there is a difference in our lives. And we need to lay aside each day guile. Let me encourage you just to trust the Lord. If you feel like lying, if you think that's the only answer and you can't say anything else, well, trust God. You see, the Christian life is a life of faith. We need to tell the truth. And we need to trust God's word that He will bless. And He does. Amen. Is that right? Does God bless us when we obey Him? Absolutely. But it's a choice, you see, to lay that aside and to put on truthfulness. Then hypocrisies. Speaks about hypocrisies, laying aside hypocrisies. Now, the word hypocrisy comes from the theatre in modern times. An actor had to play more than one part. They didn't have as many actors in the theatre at one stage, and one actor had to play many parts, and they wore different face masks. And that's where the word hypocrite comes from. That's where the word was used, to change parts. Another face was worn, but behind those faces was the same person, wearing many faces. And the word hypocrisy means pretending to be something that we are not. And the Bible tells us that God wants us to be a genuine Christian. He doesn't want us to be a hypocrite. He doesn't want us to live our lives one way, for example, outside of church, and then live our lives another way inside of church. God says, don't be a hypocrite. And this is something we all need to work on, don't we? We can all dress up and put on a happy smile on Sunday, and we can all say the right thing and sing the right words on Sunday in church, but where the rubber meets the road is what we do on Monday. Amen? Absolutely, for all of us. What we do on Monday. And God wants us to be just as genuine in church as outside of church. He wants us to walk with Him. He wants us to pick up our Bibles. Amen? During the week. He wants us to be a witness. He wants us to be just as bold in singing hymns to God in a public school as in our witness during the week telling others about Christ. He wants us to be genuine. Let me encourage you, Christians, to be genuine, to seek to be a genuine Christian, to seek to allow God to give you boldness to stand for Him. We need the Word of God to enable us to do that. Hypocrisy. You know, hypocrisy, let me say this, is probably one of the number one sins that ruin our family. And when our children see us living one way at home, and then they see us putting on another face in front of others, they see everything, and that causes them to be bitter in their hearts towards us and towards the God we believe in. Hypocrisy destroys our families. Hypocrisy destroys our testimony. And that's why you and I need to be so serious about the Christian life. Amen? Absolutely. God is watching, and so are others. So is our family. We all have regrets of the past and what we should have done right. But the good thing is about the Christian life, it's a step-by-step, day-by-day transformation. Amen. Today is a new day. Amen? Absolutely. Tomorrow is a new day. And we can walk in victory, but we need to choose to put aside the old things and to put on the new. Make a determination that, yes, I'm going to seek to be a genuine Christian. I'm going to seek to follow the Lord. I'm going to seek to do those things that please God by the grace of God. Don't be satisfied with a double life. Amen. A double life as a Christian won't give you victory in the day in which we live. Only when we're close to Christ, only when we're following Him, can we experience that overcoming joy and stability through the trials of life. Envies. The Word of God says, laying aside envies. To be envious means to want something that you don't have, that someone else has. Envy leads to jealousy. Now, would you agree with me this morning that this world is an envious world, is it not? Absolutely. Most people are discontent with what they have and want more and more and more. That's the world we live in. Now, the question for us this morning is, are we satisfied with what we have? Are we satisfied with what God has given us? Is God enough for us in our lives, or are we discontent? Are we constantly envious over what other people have? You know, if we are saved and we think about it each day, the treasure and the preciousness and the glory of what we have in Jesus Christ, we should be the most satisfied and happy people on this side of the planet. Amen? Absolutely. The Bible tells us, notice in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 18, "For as much as you know that you were not redeemed with corruptible things, as silver and gold, from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as a lamb without blemish and without spot." The Bible tells us that we are the wealthiest people in eternity and on this planet, because we have been cleansed from our sins by the precious blood of Jesus Christ. Much more valuable than gold or silver that will waste away and perish. If you are saved, the blood of Christ covers your sin for all eternity. You can never lose your salvation. And if you step into eternity, if you breathe your last breath, you have an eternal hope that never fades away. My friend, we ought to be the most satisfied people, because what we have in Christ, and with the fact that you and I have God each day. My friends, we have a supernatural God who created the universe and spoke the world into existence, and that invites us to come to Him for all our needs. Invites us to come to Him for comfort. Invites us to come to Him to cast our cares upon Him. What else do we need? What else do we think we need the world can give us to satisfy our souls? We don't need anything, amen, if the truth be known. But our satisfaction needs to be in God. And we spoke about this in series past, but let me remind you that a lust for more, a dissatisfaction in our life, is the root of every sin. A lust for more is the root of every sin in our life. When you and I are discontent with what we have in God and who we have in God, we will always fall into temptation and sin, whether it's in our relationships, whether it's in our daily choices. A lust for more is the root of all sin. That's why we need to be content with God. We need to lay aside envy. Evil speakings, lastly in this list. Evil speakings. Now that speaks for itself, amen? You know, if we were to stop speaking evil things about others, some of us wouldn't have much to say. You know, we wouldn't know what to say. And to be honest, when we're Christians and we're first saved, sometimes it's good just to listen. Amen? Because for me, for example, I got saved when I was 26. And for 26 years, I was a sinner, unsaved, speaking the way the world does. And all those habits of all those years had piled up. And then once I got saved, I realized pretty quickly that I'm going to have to learn a new way to talk. Amen. Amen? I'm going to have to learn to speak about different things that I spoke about when I was lost. I need to grow to know God more. And I need to learn what to say as a Christian. That's why we need to grow. And evil speaking is something we need to cast aside. Sometimes it's good just to listen to others. Sometimes it's okay not to be the mouthpiece in every conversation, amen? The Bible says, in fact, it's wise to be slow to speak and to be quick to hear. And evil speaking needs to be something that we cast aside. You see, God didn't want these persecuted, suffering Christians going through horrific trials to become bitter, to become resentful, malicious, foul-mouthed people. No, he wanted his people to become a shining light in the darkness. He wanted his people to become bold in their faith. He wanted his people to know the Lord personally and have that precious relationship that would take them through into a victorious Christian life. So these are some things we need to depart from. Perhaps this morning, God has shown you something in his word that says, yes, I struggle with this. I need to lay this aside. Remember, unless we address the issues in our life that we need to cast aside, we can't grow. These are some things we need to depart from. Secondly, our desire. The Bible says, as newborn babes, in verse 2, desire the sincere milk of the word that ye may grow thereby. Your second blank is the word desire. See, on the one hand, there are some things we need to depart from. And then on the other hand, we need to put on some new things. And once we are saved, there should be a desire for new things, amen? There should be a desire for spiritual things. One of the results of salvation is a new desire in our heart towards God that was never there before. And I'm not talking about coming to church. Lots of people are in church this morning that have never been saved. Coming to church is not an indication of salvation. Although when you are saved, you should be in church, amen? But a transformed heart is the result of salvation. A new desire. What's one of those desires? Notice there in 1 Peter chapter 1. As newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word that ye may grow thereby. Now, the natural result of a birth is growth. A child, when it is born, should grow. If it doesn't grow, there's a problem. There's something wrong. And you know, when it comes to our spiritual birth in Christ, God's plan for us is to grow. In order for you and I to do that, we can't just sit still and helpless and not do anything. The Bible says we need new spiritual food. What is that food? It is the living Word of God. You see, through the Word of God, God transforms our lives. How? Well, these are God's thoughts. As you spend time in His Word,
He changes your thoughts to become His thoughts. He changes your habits and you think, oh wow, envies. Wow, I've got a lot of people that I'm envious of. And then as you read the word, you realize envy is wrong. Envy is a sin. Lord, forgive me. Lord, help me to be content with who You are. You see, God transforms our thoughts as He does in church when we hear the word of God. But every day we need to feed on His word, don't we?
Yep.
If we're going to change, we need to spend time in the Bible. We need to spend time in the Word of God. I remember one time someone who claimed to be a Christian told me that that you don't need to read the Bible in order to live the Christian life. And I thought to myself, all right, is that true or is it not? Can we just get saved and then say, well, I've got a relationship with God, I've got a connection, and I'll just experience God in everyday emotional experiences and let's see how we go. That's not what the Bible tells us. How do we experience God? We experience Him through the Word of God, through the truth of the Word. That's a charismatic philosophy. Absolutely. Experiencing God through emotions and strange visions and dreams and strange feelings and experiences. That's what drug addicts go through, amen? As Christians, we need to be addicted to the Word of God. This is our source for life. And you see, when we don't feed on God's Word, we don't grow. And when the trials come, when people reject us, when we face the hardships of life, we're not standing on solid ground. We're not as strong as we should be. That's why every day we need to feed on the Word of God. Let me just leave that simple truth with you this morning. Spend time in God's Word. Just like you would eat your breakfast to fuel you for the beginning of the day, feed on the Word of God to prepare you for that day ahead. Spend some time in His Word. The Bible says that ye may grow thereby. Church family, that is what the Word of God will do for you. Amen. That is what God's Word will do for me. It's a promise, is it not? Yep. Look with me yourself. That ye may grow thereby. That's the promise of God. You spend time in His Word at home. You come to church faithfully. The doors are open 3 days a week. Amen. 3 times a week. There's preaching. There's teaching. There's wonderful truths to be sown into our hearts. If you're faithful to God's Word, you will grow and you will experience victory in your Christian life. Absolutely. But we need to feed. Now what happens if a baby doesn't feed on mother's milk? There's some serious issues. Malnourished, weak, and deathly. And we need to be serious about the fact that we cannot live the Christian life in our own strength. The battles are too fierce. We have a real enemy, the devil himself, who wants to destroy your lives. He can't take away your salvation, but he wants to destroy your family. He wants to destroy your testimony. We need to grow. We need His Word, and we need to obey it, that you may grow thereby. The milk of the Word. That's what our desire should be. Lastly, our decision. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 3. Your third blank is the word decision. The Bible says, if so be, ye have tasted that the Lord is gracious. If you're here this morning, and I'll close with this. If you're here this morning, and there's been a point in your life where you repented of your sins and you receive Christ as your personal Savior, you have tasted that the Lord is gracious, have you not? Absolutely. If you experience the full forgiveness of your sins through Christ, and there's been a time where you were truly born again, you know that the Lord is gracious. You know that He's forgiven you. And you rejoice in that wonderful truth. So should we not follow Him? Should we not seek to grow? One of the evidences of our salvation is a desire to change. It's a desire for the Word of God. Perhaps you're here this morning and you'd say, Pastor, look, I have no desire for this book. None. The only time you'll see me with this book in my hand, Pastor, is in church. Outside of it, I have no desire. Well, then perhaps it could possibly be, and I say this sensitively because we're all sinners, amen. We all need to be saved. It could possibly be that you have not yet tasted that the Lord is gracious. The Bible doesn't say, if so be that you have prayed a prayer once upon a time. No. Have you tasted that the Lord is gracious? Have you received Him as your Savior? Has there been a point in your life that you realized you were a sinner, wretched, undone before a holy God? That you had offended God with everything in your life? And that you deserve to go to a place called the lake of fire? Has there been a time where you realized you were under the condemnation of the wrath of a holy God? And has there been a time in your life where you repented of your sin? You turned from your wicked ways and you turned to Christ and you asked Him to save you once and for all? Have you tasted the gift of eternal life? You see, only when we're saved will we have a desire to live for God. Not a pressure from the pastor, not a pressure from the church meeting, not a pressure from our spouse, but a desire in our hearts to follow Him. Though we may not always follow Him, we still grieve over the fact of those times when we don't follow Him. We still grieve over the fact that we didn't spend time in the Word. Look, if you didn't read your Bible this morning and you're saved, well, we grieve over the fact we didn't spend time with God. There's a difference. Before I was saved, I had no desire for the Bible. I read it and it scared me. And I put it down and never picked it up again. Because I didn't want to read things about hell. I didn't want to read verses that I didn't understand. I was fearful of it. I didn't want it. I couldn't be bothered. But when I got saved, I wanted to know more about the God that saved me. Why? Because He proved Himself gracious. He proved Himself good. And if you're a Christian today, then follow the Lord. Allow Him to transform you if you have tasted that the Lord is gracious. The Christians that were being persecuted during Peter's time were suffering intense and horrific persecution. And the answer wasn't a change on the outside, on their circumstances. No, the answer was a change on the inside. I hope that's what you see this morning. When we change on the inside, we can have victory over our daily trials and suffering and persecution in the day in which we live. Will you allow God to change you? Have you received the gift of eternal life? If so be that you have tasted that the Lord is gracious. I trust that these little lessons will be a help. Let's allow the God, the Lord that saved us, to be the one who changes us, amen? And let's enjoy His blessings this week.